out, and all of us for pizza and beer when all the big work was done. We joked and laughed and chatted and shared stories, and it was clear they all loved Shaw to death, and the same with Hicks. It felt good being around them. It felt good being a part of this new beginning that had such hope. It felt good that there was no tension, no worried looks, no caution, just friends hanging together after helping out a bud. It felt good being in that great house, the kind of house that Hicks belonged in, where he could give his kids what he wanted them to have. It felt real and natural and mellow, and they'd all been welcoming to me at first, but that had melted into a feel like it wasn't the first time I met Larry and Tommy and Toast and Herb and Hal, but like I'd known them for ages. It had been awesome. And part of that awesome was knowing that Hicks was going to be taking the afternoon off on Monday because his girls' bunk beds, dressers, and desks were going to show. The sectional for the basement was as well, since he'd already bought them. I also knew that when the girls came back Monday night, they were going as a family to J&K's Electrics to buy a TV for downstairs. The girls had already bought new sheets and comforters for their beds. They got them online, and they were in big boxes in their room, ready for the furniture to arrive. Except the sheets. I put them in the washer to prepare for the girls' arrival the next day. So it was all happening. They were all settling. Sure, Hicks needed some rugs and some stools for the island in the kitchen and things up on his walls. And he hadn't lied. He might have bought furniture and towels, but he didn't go whole hog on anything else. Had the bare minimum for his kitchen, so unpacking boxes didn't take hours. But they were there, and all that would come whenever it came, and it didn't matter when that would be. They had the important stuff. And another part of that awesome was knowing that Andy would be there that next day, as would I, sharing Junk Sunday with Hicks and Shaw. And the reason I was pissed, and getting more pissed, was the fact that although that day had started great for Hicks and me, Hope had screwed it all up. She'd screwed everything up. Hicks and Shaw couldn't enjoy their first day in their new house, kicking back, watching football, relaxing, and eating a lot of garbage. No, because Hope's crap had leaked in the form of a desperate, sad, angry, sobbing young girl who should be feeling none of those things, and they'd all been given no choice but to deal. It didn't surprise me that it was Andy who kept the vibe as sweet and smooth as it could be. Mamie was withdrawn. Shaw was showing signs he might be even more pissed than his dad, and Hicks was trying to hide it, but I could feel the struggle he was having in controlling his anger and frustration. So Andy, being jokey and playful and excited about donuts, and enthusiastic about Hicks's house, and downright thrilled at how cool it was Shaw was going to be a Marine, and so on, was semi-saving the day. No one had forgotten the drama, and everyone was on edge, because Hicks had called Hope to come get Mamie, and we were all waiting for her to show. But at least Andy got to be Andy. He might have sustained damage to his brain that forever challenged his abilities to live what was considered a normal life, but he'd never displayed any alteration in his functionality at being able to read a room and react to that. In this instance, being himself, loving and sweet. So it was his eyes I caught first when the doorbell rang. Shaw was cuddling his sister in the love seat. Hicks and I were in the corner of a couch. Andy was in the armchair. And when the bell rang, any smooth and sweet in the room vanished, and Andy bit his lip, then stretched out the lower one before his shoulders slunk up to his ears. I gave him a careful smile as I felt Hicks's arm around me give me a squeeze before he set me aside and pushed out of the couch. I turned to look at Shaw and Mamie, who had been lounged together, but now Mamie was on her behind, with her knees pulled all the way up to her chest, her arms around her calves, her chin to her knees, and eyes to the door, and Shaw was standing facing the door. It's gonna be okay, guys. I tried to reassure them, but Shaw's lip just curled, and Mamie only glanced at me before looking back toward the door, so I figured it didn't work all that great. Right. For me and Andy, it was time to clear the donuts away and set about making French onion dip and whatever else we could do in order to stay in the kitchen and give the Drake family privacy. I started to open my mouth Andy's way and fold out of the couch when I heard Hicks mutter,
"Hope, Jep."
But I froze when Shaw hissed,
"Unbe-freaking-leavable."
I looked to Shaw, then over my shoulder at the door, where Hope was walking in, face a mask of fury as her eyes lighted on me. And that fury didn't change when they took in Andy. It only minutely changed when her attention swung to Mamie. Hope's father was walking in behind her. He seemed to be feeling ill at ease, but I didn't know the man and I didn't get to take time to analyze his demeanor because Hope spoke.
"I love you. I love you more than you will ever know until you have a child of your own. But Mamie, you scared me to death this morning and that is not okay."
"I can't believe you,"
Shaw clipped, and didn't make anyone wait to find out what it was precisely that he couldn't believe. He shared it.
"You brought Gramps? You're like 41 years old, and you got your butt in a sling and you bring your dad?" "Shaw,"
Hicks muttered warningly. I shoved to the edge of the couch and said softly, "Andy and me will just..."
"Yeah, why don't you just..."
Hope spat, and I froze again, looking over my shoulder at her hate-filled face aimed at me.
"Hope,"
her father murmured irritably. Before I could snap myself out of it and get a move on, Mamie stopped me by speaking, or more accurately, with what she said when she did.
"You're mean,"
she whispered, then spoke louder.
"You're just mean. Like, you're a grown-up mean girl. Like, so mean they could make a movie out of you and everyone would hate you. That's how mean you are."
I decided not to look at Hope's reaction to that, because I felt the sting of those words snapping in the air. It hurt something awful, and it wasn't even directed at me. I also decided not to speak again. I just pushed out of the couch and reached a hand out to Andy, who was already getting up. He took my hand, and we started to move toward the kitchen, but stopped when Mamie spoke again.
"Greta, don't go."
"Shit," I turned to her. "Sweetie, I think it's best Andy and I hang in the kitchen while..."
"I want you to know, in front of her,"
she pointed to her mother,
"that I like you. I like you with Daddy. You make him happy. And things have got better for him since you've been around. And if he got this house because it's close to you, then good. Because it's closer to Corinne and me, too, when we're with Mom. And it's a pretty house. And it's the kind of house Daddy and Shaw should live in."
"Thank you, Mamie," I said softly. "I like you too, honey. And to write about this house. Though you should know he didn't get it because it was close to me. He got it because it was right for his family. Now Andy and I should..."
"And I want to live here, even if you live here too,"
Mamie declared.
"Like Mom says you're gonna be moving in, because you make things happy."
I sucked in a huge breath and looked to Hicks.
"Greta isn't moving in, baby,"
Hicks said gently.
"Yet,"
Shaw put in. I bit my lip, squeezed Andy's hand, and he started tugging it, shuffling us to the kitchen.
"There are things you don't understand, Mamie,"
Hope shared.
"Yeah?"
Mamie asked.
"Well, tell them to me."
"You're too young,"
Hope replied.
"I'm not too young to know that Shaw's right. I get it that Daddy hasn't been with Greta very long, and he's got us, so he can't move her in, like, right away. But I see how they are together, and Daddy makes Greta happy, too. So she might not be moving in now, but she will, and that's okay by me. And it doesn't matter what you think or all you have to say about it to Miss Julie. It has nothing to do with you because you threw him away."
"Baby,"
Hicks started, and Andy gave my hand a harder tug, pulling me out of the room and into the kitchen. He rolled the pocket doors closed behind us, then crowded me back so we were at the opposite side of the kitchen. We both stopped by the sink and turned to stare at the doors. It was Andy who broke our silence.
"Geez, Tanta, I'd rather deal with Mom than that lady out there."
I looked to him to see his gaze still on the doors and stifled my giggle that came because my brother was funny, but also might have been because I was slightly hysterical. When I controlled my inappropriate mirth, I asked, "You want to make onion dip?" He looked to me, and his mind wasn't on dip.
"You okay?"
I nodded. He stared at me. Then he said,
"Okay, Tata, let's make dip.
We made dip. Then we grabbed chips. Then I found a pad of paper and a pen, and I started to make a grocery list for Hicks and his kids because, in unpacking the kitchen, I'd noted that Hicks did not have many of the basics of cooking. I did this with Andy bent over the island with me, helping me. We figured out how to program the coffee pot, and then we just hung together uncomfortably. Through that, and all we'd done before, our eyes straying to the doors. They finally opened, and I was surprised to see not Hicks or Shaw coming through, but instead Hope's father. He shut them behind him, but did it facing us and saying,
"Just gotta give that family some time."
I pressed my lips together and nodded, unpressing my lips to say, "Of course."
"You're mean to my sister. I won't like it,"
Andy declared, and I looked to him to see his chest puffed out and he was edging my way.
"I wouldn't dream of being mean to your sister, son,"
Hope's dad replied, moving to the opposite side of the island from where we were.
"Okay,"
Andy muttered and relaxed. How are they doing? Are they okay?" I asked. But before I got my last word out, Shaw could be heard shouting,
"God, Mom, you're unbelievable!" "Not too good,"
Hope's father muttered. I felt for him. He looked sad. So sad he looked vulnerable and defeated, like his years were decades more than he'd actually lived. There was nothing I could do about that, except get even more pissed Hope was all Hope was. "Andy, this is Mr. Schroeder. Mr. Schroeder, this is my brother Andy," I introduced.
"Good to meet you, Andy. And please,"
his eyes moved from Andy to me,
"both of you, call me Jep. You want onion dip?"
Andy asked, reaching out to shove the bowl and bag of chips across the island toward Jep.
"Not feeling hungry, son, but thanks,"
Jep murmured, but did it with his eyes trained on the dip, and they didn't move. I looked to Andy. He looked to me. The pocket doors opened and Hicks strolled through.
"Jep, Hope's going. Mamie's staying with me. She's with me tomorrow anyway, so no reason with the state of things for her to go back now. I'll have time to get some things straight with her, and she'll go back to Hope after next week."
I examined Hicks's face and saw he didn't look furious, but he didn't look any less angry and frustrated than he had been all morning.
"Right, son,"
Jep replied, turning.
"I'll just get on with getting her home."
He stopped next to Hicks, lifted a hand and rested it on Hicks's shoulder.
"We'll just..."
He patted Hicks's shoulder and removed his hand.
"Get past this. All of us. Eventually."
He turned to Andy and me.
"Wish it was better circumstances. Maybe next time it will be."
"Yeah, Jep," I said. "Take care." He lifted his chin. Andy mumbled a farewell and Jep took off. Hicks walked farther in.
"We gotta change junk Sunday to going to Dansboro to pick up beds Sunday. Mamie needs somewhere to sleep, and she isn't sleeping her first night in this house on the couch. So I might need your Cherokee to get it all in. The place is in Dansboro. You up for that, babe?"
I nodded. "Absolutely."
"I'm good at carrying things,"
Andy proclaimed.
"That'd be great, bud, since Shaw and me'll need your help,"
Hicks replied. I turned to my brother. Hicks is under the mistaken impression that my broken nose means I can't lift things.
"Doesn't seem mistaken to me,"
Andy returned. I rolled my eyes, only to roll them back and see Andy grinning.
"Gotta call the store, then we'll move out,"
Hicks muttered, and my attention went back to him. He moved out before I could say anything, and Andy moved out with him. I moved to find some plastic wrap to cover the dip so I could put it in the fridge and join them. It wasn't until we were all going through the also-awesome mudroom at the back of the house that led to the garage, where Hicks had parked both the Bronco and my Cherokee, that I could grab Hicks's hand and waylay him. Andy and Hicks's subdued kids kept moving. Hicks stopped and looked down at me.
"You okay?"
I asked softly.
"I'm gonna sit down with Hope next week and hear her out. It's what she wants. And a woman goes all out until she gets what she wants. It shits me, I gotta give her that, but if doing that might bring some peace to my family, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna freaking hate it, but I'm gonna do it." So right now I'm pissed and feel like I'm trapped in a corner. But if all I gotta do is listen to her shit to get out of that corner and buy some peace for my kids, I hope like hell I'll be better after it's over.
I nodded and squeezed his hand. I'm sorry, baby.
I'll get it done quick as I can, and then hope like fuck this can be put behind all of us.
I nodded again.
I'm gonna do that, and Mamie's staying with us, but I don't want her to get the impression she can pull crap like she pulled this morning and get her way. This situation is extreme, but I gotta have faith Hope will get her shit together and be the mother her kids need, so they can stop licking their wounds or tearing them open wider and start healing. If not...
He let that lie, and I shifted closer. How about we cross that bridge if we come to it?
Good plan.
He muttered. We should go. I said.
Yeah.
He replied and gave my hand a tug. And then we moved out. The bunk beds were set up, and they were great. A double on the bottom, set perpendicular to the single on the top, made of wood painted white, a ladder with a little wardrobe to the side, and a cute shelf off the top bunk that could serve as a nightstand. The girls had picked a pretty green and white comforter with flowers and leaves for the double bottom, a matching gorgeous matelassé quilt for the top, shams to match the comforter, white sheets and green toss pillows, with the addition of a nice strike of blue with green trim for another toss pillow to make it interesting. Mamie shared with me this vision was Corinne's, and she had an eye. We picked up the bed and mattresses from the store, but we could also fit in one of the desks, which was more like a vanity since it had a mirror and a dresser, so we put those in too, and the guys set them all up. The rest of the furniture would be waiting for Corinne tomorrow. While the guys were setting up, I offered Mamie a $50 online gift card, and we sat on our butts in the hall, going through Shaw's laptop and ordering a lamp and a cute picture to go in the room. I told her Corinne would have the same. Mamie could tell her she had it, and she could help pick out stuff and email it to me, and I'd order it. But now, we were both on our knees on the floor in front of her dresser, finishing up putting her stuff away from the only boxes that hadn't been unpacked. And although she'd gotten excited to buy her lamp and picture, she was quiet again. I didn't know what to do. The times when Andy was around that age and he could listen and retain, maybe he had been a teen. What I said were long ago. That said, even then, I didn't know what to do. I just went with my gut. So right then, I had to go with my gut. She was frantic, your mom, when you took off, I said gently as I handed her a folded leotard. Mamie ducked her head and shoved the leotard in a drawer. Mamie, I'm not saying that to make you feel bad, I told her. Life stuff happens, and sometimes it makes us feel so much we don't think before we react. We just gotta do whatever we have to do because we hope it'll make us feel better. And then we learn, and hopefully the next time we feel too much, we'll have it in us to take a second and think. I'm just saying this because your mom is in a bad place right now, but you need to know that she loves you very much. She turned to me and declared, "See, right there." When she said nothing else, I replied, "I'm not sure I see, sweetie." She gave it to me immediately. "You're being nice about her. She's not nice about you." "Well, I don't know your mom, and I can't say why she does the things she does. All you need to know is I speak truth. No matter all that's happening, she loves you."
"If she loved me, she'd see it hurts me to watch her hurtin' daddy, and she'd stop doing it,"
she retorted. She had a point. So I just folded another leotard. Her next came timid.
"Will you talk him into letting me live here with him and Shaw?"
I looked to her. "No." Her face fell, then it got hard. I lifted a hand to the back of her head and gave her ponytail a little tug before I leaned close to her. "I want you to have what you want, and I want you to be happy. And you don't know it now, but you need your mom, and your mom needs you."
"She doesn't need me. She's got Miss Julie to talk nasty to and help her stay angry."
Another point. "Things are gonna be happening with you.
I started, but she cut me off. Yeah, I know. Boys and maxi pads and blah, blah, blah. Dad's lived with girls his whole life. I mean, he had a mom, then he had my mom. When he went to the store, he bought her tampons like he'd buy a bag of potato chips, and he didn't catch fire or anything.
I couldn't stop my chuckling. Her lips quirked, and she took the leotard from me and put it in the drawer. Her mood shifted back as she muttered through quivering lips,
I want to live with him.
And there'll be a day, a long time from now, when you'll look back and you'll understand a whole lot more what your mom is going through, and you'll wish you had your share of time with her.
Mamie looked at me, and I kept going.
I promise you that, Mamie. I'll tell you straight because I think you deserve it, and I'm not sure you're getting a lot of that with what's going on around you, because you're the baby, and they want you to stay the baby even though you aren't a baby anymore. But I agree with you. Your mom is acting out because she's upset and scared and hurting. And maybe she isn't acting the right way, but just today, you took off and scared both your mom and dad like crazy.
So if you think about all the things you were feeling that made you behave that way, maybe you'll understand a little about all the things your mom is feeling that are making her behave in ways that aren't right.
Her mouth set. She jerked up one shoulder, and she reached past me to get another leotard. I just grabbed my own and started folding it. Mamie changed the subject.
I like Andy.
He likes you.
Say you and Dad get married, am I not going to be the baby anymore?
I was confused.
Why wouldn't you be?
Because you and Dad will have babies. My hands stilled, but my mind didn't. I told him I didn't want to have a family and how that affected me and Keith, and Hicks had already made a family, but he hadn't said then if he'd want more. We were both no longer young. We were also both not old.
Damn. Greta?
I pulled it together and looked to Hicks's girl.
Do you understand that what your dad and I have is very young?
I asked. She nodded.
So we haven't gotten around to talking about that yet. And because of that, I have a feeling something about it is weighing on your mind. But do you get that if I haven't talked about it with your dad, I shouldn't with you?
Something lit in her eyes as she said,
Yes.
So, how about we not talk about any more heavy stuff now and get you settled in, then go down and join the boys and eat more food that's really bad for us?
That bought me a smile as she agreed.
Let's do that. I smiled back, folded a scary amount of leotards, and helped her clear the rest of her stuff. We had just begun breaking down boxes, an endeavor Hicks must have heard because he joined us and ordered us out so he could do it. Apparently, girls couldn't break down boxes either. Since that wasn't my favorite task and there were only 8, we left him to it and went down to join the boys, the game, and eat really bad food.
I'm not sure this is the right thing to do.
I am.
I sat on the side of Hicks's bed and watched him walk into the bathroom. He closed the door. I stared at it. It was late. Andy was back at the home. Shaw was in the basement. Mamie was in bed across the hall. And I was spending the night, according to Hicks, but I wasn't sure that was the way to go. He came out of the bathroom, and I caught his eyes immediately.
Hicks, we need to slow this down.
He walked right up to me, stopped, and stared down at me.
What, baby, from our conversation this morning, gives you the impression we should slow this down?
He asked gently.
The drama with your daughter that happened right after it,
I answered. He bent to me and rested both hands on the sides of my neck.
Is this happening?
Yes, but...
Is it very much happening?
Yes, Hicks, but...
Is there going to be a day when you're making breakfast for more than just me in my kitchen?
I nodded and whispered, I hope so.
He nodded too.
So everyone has to get the message that's gonna happen, Greta. And I'm not using you to make a point to my ex-wife or my kids. In that everyone, I also mean you. If you have genuine reason that any delay in relating that message will be useful, I'll listen. But it is what it is, and it's gonna be that for a long damn time. So why delay it?
Another Drake with a good point. Mimi asked me if we got married if we'd have kids. I divulged. The pads of his fingers bit into my flesh momentarily before he let me go and straightened.
What did you say?
He asked. I said I hadn't even talked to you about it, so I didn't feel it was right discussing it with her.
Good answer,
he muttered. Hicks, I said no more because he tagged my hand, pulled me up, but he did it only to sit and tug me back down, right in his lap. He wrapped his arms around me and only spoke when I looked into his eyes.
You said you didn't want kids,
he remarked carefully. I don't, I replied just as carefully.
I got kids.
I smiled a small smile. I know.
Babe, you feel like changing your mind. You want to make a baby with me, we'll talk. But right now, that part of my life is behind me, and I'm guerdoned for losing my babies to the lives they're gonna lead. I'm not feeling a hankering to go through that again.
He lifted a hand and ran his fingers along my jaw, murmuring,
We'd make a beautiful baby. So if you want that door open, we'll talk. But if you don't, I'm down with that too.
I stared at him, and I did it not thinking about Mimi or Hope or our crazy day. I did it thinking about all the times I'd had this very conversation with Keith, the crushing guilt that I so very much didn't want to give him something he so very much wanted. That guilt compounded by the fact that he already gave so much, I felt I was being doubly selfish not giving it to him. But it wasn't like he wanted an expensive new car that you could find a way to pay for or eventually sell and move on. He wanted to make a child with me. And I loved kids, but the one I'd had had been work even before my mother hurt him in ways that would never heal. So in the end, I just wanted Keith and Andy and calm and peace, because I'd never had the chance to live my life just how I might want it. I never would have that chance because I'd always have Andy, and I didn't want more. But with Hicks, it was, if you want it, we'll talk, and I'm leaving that door open. If you don't, we're good. And I couldn't cope with it being that easy.
Baby, have you changed your mind?
Hicks's question jolted me out of my reverie. Women are supposed to want to have kids, I shared.
There are a lot of women out there. So that all-encompassing statement might not be true, sweetheart.
We would. I cleared my throat, the thoughts in my head tumbling. We actually would make a beautiful baby. Hicks stroked my neck and watched me closely.
Yeah.
If this runs its course, we'll always have Andy, Hicks. He grinned at me.
If this runs its course,
he said teasingly.
We'll also always have Shaw, Corinne, and Mamie. It'll be in different ways, but they'll always be my kids, and you'll get to share in that.
I haven't changed my mind, I whispered.
All right. But so I know where you're at. You want that door open?
God, he wasn't to be believed. Not right now, but no door should ever be closed. He grinned again. Moved in to touch his mouth to mine and moved back.
Right. That's settled. Now are you going to get ready for bed?
We can't have sex. Mamie's across the hall. His gaze drifted to the door and he muttered,
Yeah.
Quickie after the kids are off to school and before we go to work. He looked back at me.
Deal.
That was when I grinned, pushed off his lap and went to my bag to get my nightie. The lights were out, and I was cuddled up to Hicks, who was on his back, stroking my arm when he noted,
Andy's a capable guy.
I adjusted to put my chin to my hand that was flat on his chest in order to look at his shadowed face. Yeah, I agreed.
Can he be in a work program or something? A home where he has more independence?
I shook my head but said, The home, yes. Though he can decide to roam, which isn't good, so there has to be supervision. He also can't do things like cook on his own, because he forgets he's cooking, and things can go south when he does. But regardless, they don't have a home like that around here.
Right.
Hicks muttered. I carried on.
but he helps with the staff and other residents who aren't as functional as he is. The work thing? We tried that in Denver. He got a job bagging groceries, and he had another one where he cleaned up and had tasks in the stockroom and putting stuff on shelves at a hardware store. But if he gets frustrated or flustered, the results can be a little frightening. And he had a really bad seizure at the hardware store. It freaked out the customers, and even though the owner knew it could happen, it didn't sit easy with him either. He'd been taught what to do, but he felt pretty powerless. And for whatever reason, it wasn't long before he said he had to let Andy go.
Think folks in a small town might have more patience and understanding, babe.
Hicks remarked, and I nodded my chin on his chest. Yeah, I've been thinking about it, talking to his therapists about it. They get work requests, and he's been given a good deal of time to settle in and get used to the change. Maybe if something comes in that fits, we can get him set up.
I'll ask around,
he murmured. I settled back into him. That'd be sweet. He likes making his own money and he's social. Stability is good, but it's also good when he has more than the people he sees all the time to talk to.
We'll find something for him. And Shaw wants to go out and get him and take him somewhere to watch Thursday night football. I know that's your day with him, sweetheart, but Shaw likes him. And I think he gets what's going on. And he definitely gets he's going to be enlisting in the Marines soon. So he's not going to be around and he's packing a lot in.
He went on, but I wasn't listening. I'd closed my eyes to beat back the wet.
Baby?
Hicks called. Shaw can have Thursday night, I whispered. His hand curled around my arm and held me there.
He'll be okay with Andy. If he's got to keep his eye out for something, you just give him a brief, but they'll be good to...
I'm sure Andy will be fine with Shaw. Hicks was silent a second before he asked,
Then what am I feeling coming from you, sweetheart?
I just... I moved my hand so when I turned my head to kiss his chest, I'd be able to go in direct. I settled back in on my cheek and gave his middle a squeeze. I think you're just feeling me being happy. He pulled me closer, and his voice was gruff when he replied,
I'll take that.
He didn't take it. He gave it. But I didn't share that. I whispered wondrously, This is gonna work, isn't it? Hicks answered instantly,
Yup.
I shoved my face in his rib cage. God, I'm gonna cry.
Baby.
No, really, this time I'm gonna cry. Hicks rolled into me so I was on my back. He was mostly pressed down my side, and my face was held in one of his hands.
You cry. I'm gonna have to take the time to comfort you, and this will delay sleep. So I'm not going to have the energy to break in my headboard tomorrow morning during our quickie after the kids go to school.
I blinked up at him and took in a shuddering breath before I declared, I'm good.
Thought that would do it,
he muttered. I slapped his arm. He came in and took my mouth, but I could tell his was smiling. When he was done kissing me gentle, wet, and for a long time, he rolled us back to our previous position and held me close. I said no more, because if Hicks was given the opportunity to change my world again, I'd totally lose it and end up bawling and not get headboard sex in the morning. So instead, cuddling closer, with Hicks's fingers trailing soothingly on my arm, I just fell asleep against my man. It was after morning pandemonium with Hicks's kids getting ready for school, which, to be fair to Shaw, who was definitely a morning person, after he woke up, of course, was entirely Mamie. It was also after our headboard sex quickie. So I was letting myself in my side door, with bed hair and sex hair, after I drove home from Hicks's to get a shower and get ready for work, when I saw something come at me from the side. Panic assailed me, and I jumped back, my phone in my hand. I didn't get out of my car without my phone in my hand anymore. A scream clogged in my throat as I saw Hope storming up my drive toward me. However, her step faltered when she witnessed how she'd surprised me, and the determined look on her face melted to something that could actually be read as chagrin. I didn't mean to scare you, she said when she arrived at me. Well, you did. I snapped, I wasn't... She shook her head. That wasn't my intent. Just for your education, after a woman is assaulted in her home, a sneak attack at any time, but mostly at said home, isn't your best lead-in. I'm sorry, Greta. God, she actually looked sorry. This could mean she was sorry, or she wanted something. I braced. I need to have a word with you. She told me. I can't imagine why. I returned. She stared at me. You can't? Hope, you need to step aside. She stated quickly. It was me now staring at her. It's the right thing to do and you know it. She went on. For who? I asked. Her brows shot together, making her look both perplexed and annoyed. For my family, for my kids, for Hicks. I'm not sure any of that is true anymore. I shared honestly. Yes, because it's not your family, though you're trying to make it that way. She returned. I drew in a calming breath, deciding arguing with Hope was not the way to carry on my day after it had started so well. I mean, had bored sex with Hicks, forget about it. So I also decided to try not to do that. You have things to say to Hicks, and he's giving you time. Say them to him. Please keep me out of this, I requested. You've warmed your way right into it. Hope, I don't want to get angry. You don't want to get angry? She snapped. Stop it. I hissed, leaning into her. And when I did, her eyes got big, sharing surprise that stated eloquently, Hope didn't often have people call her on her shit. Hicks says you go all out until you get what you want, but you're an adult now, Hope. You have to learn that life is about getting what you want, and it's also about dealing appropriately when you don't. He talks about me to you? She asked. Okay, I stated curtly. It's clear you're in a space where you can't think of anyone but yourself, but if you manage to pull yourself out of that for a second, first, you're the mother of his children, so that's gonna happen. Second, you're his ex-wife, so that's gonna happen. And last, you've been pretty active lately in ways that don't make him real happy, so that's gonna happen. You need to step aside, she bit out. That is not gonna happen, I shot back. He's my husband. He's not your husband, Hope. He's my man. I'm angry you forced this situation, but I honestly don't intend to hurt you when I say that's where this is at. This is real. It's serious. It's going places, and you have to focus on yourself and your life and your children, and not on the man who is no longer yours, not because he's mine, which he is, but because he is no longer yours. Her expression turned catty. We'll see. No, we won't. I know how it is. You'll see. And Hope, honest to God, you need to prepare, because what you'll see is not what you're thinking. And as much as you're obviously hurting now and trying to find ways to make it stop, if you don't prepare, it's only going to get worse. You think it's about the ring. He thinks it's about the ring. She leaned toward me. But it's not about the ring. She leaned back. And when he knows what it was about, he'll come back. I stared at her, and I thought about headboard sex. I thought about the words to at last. I thought about the way Hicks stroked the insides of my fingers in that sweet way and didn't even know he was doing it. I thought about junk Sundays and having a broken nose and not being allowed to lift anything and slipping on a set of stairs and watching Hicks leap down them to get to me. I thought about the fact Hicks had a variety of opportunities to walk away from me, and he didn't. Even when I tried to close that door, he put his boot in it, keeping it open. I thought about the man I knew, who knew all the crap that came with me, and he didn't go running. I thought about that man, and the man I knew him to be, and knew he'd never tell me, not ever, that he was done with his ex-wife, and he was intent to build something with me, if he didn't mean that down to the bottom of his soul. And after I thought all that, I said to my man's ex-wife, "Prepare, Hope. We'll see." She purred, grinning venomously at me, turning and sashaying down my drive. I watched her go, now thinking about if I should tell Hicks that happened or not. I decided to give it time. Not too much. If he found out before I told him, he might think I was keeping it from him, if only to protect him, but he wouldn't like that. However, I had to shower and get to work. I had a client.
Right.
I bit my lip at the way Hicks said that, after I'd shared with him what had happened with me and Hope that morning over the phone, in the back room of the salon I'd just opened up. That one syllable didn't sound happy.
She's phoned.
He shared in return, and my eyes went to the door as Lou walked through it. Hope had been busy that morning. Yeah? I asked.
She wants to go to Jameson's tomorrow night to have dinner and talk.
Jameson's? The swankiest, most romantic restaurant in the county? That bitch. I narrowed my eyes at Lou, but mumbled, mm-hmm, to Hicks.
Babe, I'm going over to her place tonight. I'm not going to freaking Jameson's with her. Though,
he said that last word reflectively,
we should make a reservation.
My eyes unnarrowed, and I was pretty sure it was me who now had a smug grin. Lou's eyes weren't narrowed, they were widened at me. I'd like that, I said.
Right, when the girls are back with her next week, we'll go. And I'm not going over to hers until after the kids and I get a TV. You want to come with us? We'll get a quick dinner after, then you can hang at home with them and be there when I get back.
Is that what you want? I asked.
Do you have to ask that?
He asked in return. Probably not, I muttered.
When's your last client?
I'm done at 6:30.
Right. We'll have the TV by then. Want to meet us at Pojack's?
Yep.
Okay. Let me know when you're on your way. You have time to hit the Harlequin for lunch?
I grinned. Hope was so going down. Yep.
What time?
1.
Pick you up or see you there?
It's a block away from me, Hickson.
Okay, baby.
He said through a chuckle.
See you there.
Yeah, honey, see you there.
Later, babe.
Later, Hicks. We hung up and Lou declared, your client's here. Right, I'll go out and... She grabbed my arm. Mm-hmm. I just watched you go from looking like you wanted to commit murder to looking like a cat who got her cream. What's going on? I didn't have a lot of time, so I laid it all out for her as best I could. When I was done, she was grinning like a fool. What? I asked. Yep, she said. What? I repeated. First, you got something to fight for, and you're finally freaking fighting for it. And since it's worth it, that makes me all kinds of happy. And second, when you said to Hicks that what you two have is gonna work, he said, yup. She leaned right into my space, and I fucking love that. She leaned back and cackled before she said, yup, that's it, but that's all he had to say. Yup, that is awesome. She turned, nabbed an industrial-sized bottle of conditioner, and turned back, strutting right by me and throwing open the door. She shouted, yup, into the salon as she walked through, and I noticed my client staring at her curiously. The door swung closed, and I burst out laughing.
Chapter 22 The Ride of Life Hickson. That night, Hicks parked at the curb of the house he'd once called home and walked up the front walk. He did it staring at his old front porch, thinking he needed to invest in some furniture to put on his for Greta. Maybe some of those Adirondack chairs. He was at the door with his hand lifted to ring the bell when the door opened. Hope stood there, made up like they were actually going to Jameson's, but without a nice dress. Instead, she was wearing nice slacks and a pretty top, not like she normally made herself up in some jeans and a sweater, with just mascara and blush, and whatever she did with her hair when she did it quick for when she had a day of running Mammy around and working for her dad. Shit. At least she had bare feet. She reached to the storm door, and Hicks got out of the way as she pushed it open, greeting. Hickson! He caught the door and returned. Hope? She turned and walked in. He followed her, and he did it thinking he'd forgotten to keep track of the time since he'd last been in his old house. She demanded he come get any of his stuff that he'd want. And after they'd gone around it for weeks, he'd done it. That had been 4, maybe 5 months ago. But it looked just the same. She hadn't changed a thing. It was still clean as a pin. Like she liked it. Tidy. Like kids didn't live there. And well decorated in a way they both had liked it. Their divorce agreement meant he left her with the house and the furniture. And since she made enough money, he didn't have to pay child support. Seeing as she made that money at a job she'd never lose, Hicks's lawyer had told him to fight her for a settlement since she got everything and walked away with the old desk his father had given him for his apartment in college, some boxes of other shit that had meaning, but no value. He hadn't fought for it. She didn't have it. Her father would have given it to her, or she'd have had to sell the house or dip into accounts that were healthy because they'd fought to keep them that way, and she'd already given him his share of that. But regardless, anything she gave him would be put toward the kids' futures, so there was no point. All they'd saved for that was an account neither of them could touch except to do something for the kids. In return, she'd signed away any rights to go after his pension or retirement accounts. He hadn't wanted the divorce, so he'd thought it was a decent enough deal. Now he was glad. He didn't have pushing their situation to someplace ugly to get money out of her, which would have surely endangered his relationship with her family, something that meant something to him. But even if it didn't, he'd need to keep it copacetic for the kids. It left their house intact for the kids to live in it without at least that change to their lives. And he didn't have a single memory of her or the life they'd shared that he had to face daily. Clean slate. All good. She turned to him in her living room, and he stopped 3 steps in. "You wanted to chat?" He started when she didn't. "I'm here."
"Would you like a beer?"
she asked. "No," he answered.
"A bourbon?"
she offered. "No, Hope," he told her.
"Would you at least sit?"
she requested, beginning to show impatience or nerves, he couldn't tell which. He could do that, so he went to one of the 2 couches that faced each other vertical on the fireplace and sat in the corner. A fireplace where he noticed she had a fire going, and there were candles lit. Jesus. Throw on some music and with her made up, dressed like that and the room this way, he'd be smacked in the face where she wanted this to go instead of it just being in his face. He didn't settle in. He sat close to the edge with his elbows to his knees, his hands hanging between them, and looked at her, settling in across from him. When she did, she tucked her legs under her like they'd been chatting all night, and Hicks fought his mouth getting tight.
"I'm glad you finally agreed to talk to me,"
she said softly. "I did, and we're doing that, but I don't want to do it for long. The kids are home, they got a new TV, and..." she interrupted him.
"Shaw can watch over the girls, and Shaw can also set up a TV."
He kept going like she didn't say anything. "Greta's with them." She assumed a hurt expression and looked to the fire. "Hope, I'm here. You wanted to talk. Talk," he prompted. She drew in a delicate breath and looked back at him, tears now shimmering in her eyes. "Christ."
"It wasn't about the ring," she said quietly.
"All right." She stared at him a beat before she asked,
"Don't you want to know what it was about?"
He felt his brows draw together. "Am I here to play games?"
"Of course not,"
she said swiftly. "So let's get this done, Hope. Be straight with me and say what you gotta say." She again stared at him before she lifted her chin a touch and declared,
"Cooking."
His brows did not unknit when he asked, "Say what?"
"Cooking."
"Hope," he growled, sliding to the edge of his seat.
"You let me cook, Hickson."
He went still.
"You expected it,"
she stated. "Are you telling me you didn't divorce me because I didn't tell you I'd buy you a $25,000 ring, but instead you did it because you did the cooking?"
"You expected it."
"I don't like to cook. And Hope, you know I'm shit at it."
"Because you never tried to learn."
"You're right, because I never wanted to learn."
"So it was down to me."
"For fuck's sake. There's no point to this," he muttered, beginning to take his feet, but he kept his seat when she spoke.
"It's about the cooking and the cleaning. You also let me do most of that, too."
He didn't get a chance to say anything. She carried on. You'd vacuum, Hicks. But I asked you to do it more than once a week, and you said it didn't need it when it did. We had Maynard for 13 years, and he shed crazy all over the place. But we also had 3 kids. The floors needed vacuuming more than once a week.
Their dog Maynard died 3 years ago. And he was getting the shit now?
You're not giving me a point to this, he informed her.
I dusted. You never dusted, not ever.
Hope, that's bullshit.
Right. Okay, so maybe you did it a couple of times, but Hicks...
She threw up a hand.
We were married 19 years.
Together only 18 since you kicked me out, he corrected her.
Like that makes a difference,
she returned. And you bitching about me not dusting and vacuuming and you cooking makes a difference at this point? He fired back.
You don't get it, and I thought you got it, and it hurt, Hickson. It hurt like you wouldn't believe when you didn't get it.
Get what? He asked.
Get this!
She threw both her hands out that time, doing it with arms wide, indicating her immaculate house.
I kept this house nice. I cooked. I cleaned, I did the dishes even, most of the time, when it was me who cooked. I'd get Mammy from dance, and I did most of the running them around before Shaw could drive, and you let me.
You have a job that's more flexible than mine, but that's beside the point. You were my wife, and you are their mother, Hope, he reminded her.
I was, and I am, and I thought maybe you might appreciate it a little bit.
That shut his mouth.
But no, you expected it, and when you got that money from your Uncle Jack, I asked for that ring because I thought you'd want to give it to me. I thought you'd want to show me you loved me. You appreciated what I did for you, for this family. But you laughed at me.
Hope.
And that hurt.
I can see that, he said quietly, watching her. Her chest moved out as she drew in a big breath. And she looked to the fire when she let it out.
It wasn't even like that ring was all the money Uncle Jack gave you. It wasn't even half. But that doesn't matter because that wasn't what it was about,
she whispered to the fire. So you didn't want the ring, he noted. Her eyes cut back to him.
Of course I wanted the ring. It was a beautiful ring. But what I really wanted was what it would mean if you gave it to me.
So why didn't you tell me that?
She bent slightly toward him. Because you should know.
Okay. She had a point. A good one, and she'd made it. But that pissed him off. And when I shared with you repeatedly I didn't know, why didn't you tell me then?
Because you should have figured it out.
Are you joking? He whispered.
No,
she snapped. Yeah, he was pissed off. You didn't once mow the lawn, Hope.
You don't have to mow the lawn every night, Hickson.
You didn't once take the trash out. Not even fucking once, not our whole marriage.
And you don't have to take the trash out every night either, she retorted.
You never took your car in to have the oil changed. I did that.
And what? She asked. That happens every 3 months?
You also didn't get up with the kids every morning.
I did. Hicks.
What about shoveling the walks, Hope? He pushed.
Again, that didn't happen even close to every day, she returned.
We're getting into the minutia. You want to talk about grocery shopping? Who did that?
We both did, Hicks. But I'll admit, you took the kids and made a thing of it most of the time. But only because you bought them junk and I didn't like it.
So we both did things to take care of this house, our lives, and our family, he pointed out.
Yes.
And I didn't ask for a $25,000 anything, because that was my job as your husband, their father. I just did it because it had to be done and because a part of me liked doing it, because I was looking after the ones I loved. Now she shut her mouth. I'm not as clean as you, and I know this because you dogged my ass for nearly 2 decades about it. But it's just the way it was. I didn't need every dog hair vacuumed up and every particle of dust swept away. Because I was living in a house with my wife and 3 kids and our dog, and I actually liked the mess of my family around me. She kept her mouth shut. Hicks did not. You wanted it like that, And I didn't mind hanging my jacket on the hooks by the door so you wouldn't see it flung over the couch, or putting up the towel folded like you liked it. Because who gives a shit? But I'd never consider it grounds to throw a tantrum or, say, end our marriage, to get up in your face about the fact that it was a pain in my ass to do shit that meant nothing to me because it meant something to you. And since we're letting things fly, you never letting us have another dog because they shed fucking sucked, Hope. The kids were devastated when we lost Maynard. They wanted another pet. I did too. And you putting your foot down about that with the excuse of what a pain in the ass pet hair was blew. So frankly, Hope, it sometimes bugged the crap out of me you were so damned neat and bitched about it when we weren't. And it definitely bugged me you were that way when we all wanted another dog.
You never said anything, she stated quietly. Was she serious?
Now you're definitely joking, he bit out. She got what she just said and how fucked up it was and tried to backpedal.
What I meant was...
Hicks cut her off. You meant what you said. And I hear you about the ring and about what it would signify to you when you actually had a point 14 months ago. Now you don't. You had plenty of time in between to stop trying to make me dance to your tune when I didn't even hear the record that was playing. And it shits me we're sitting here now talking about all this crap. But take it as honest when I say I'm sorry I laughed when you asked for that ring. It was insensitive, and that wasn't the right response. But Hope, you lost traction immediately, not sharing with me I hurt you then. And your response to mine was so out of whack, it's freaking insane. And now I'm thinking you got just a hint of being in the dark about something someone you give a shit about has a problem with, and they never shared it with you. Magnify that to make it cause the end of a marriage and powerless to do anything but watch a shitload of garbage land on your kids because that happened, and maybe you'll get where I'm coming from. He watched her swallow. Then Hicks held her eyes as she held his, and he was about to put an end to this waste of time when she spoke again.
So where does this take us now?
Sorry? He asked.
Where do we go from here?
He felt his neck get tight. But before he could figure out what to say, she uncurled her legs from under her and rushed across to him. Getting on her knees in front of him, she grabbed his hand and held it tight in both of hers.
I'm sorry,
she whispered urgently.
I'm so sorry. I knew I'd done wrong at the lawyer's office when we signed those papers, but it had gone so far. I didn't know how to stop it. But then you wouldn't talk to me, and I couldn't tell you I was sorry. I couldn't explain where I was at. I couldn't start fixing things between us. Then you found her, and...
Stop. She stopped. He tugged his hand from hers. The second he started doing that, her eyes dropped to his hand, and she kept them there even as her hands fell to her sides. We're done, Hope. Her gaze shot to his.
We're not done.
We're done.
You love me.
I did. I don't anymore. More tears hit her eyes, and she scooted forward on her knees, pressing her stomach to his leg as she lifted a hand and rested it on his chest.
You do! You love me! You totally love me, Hicks, in a way you always will.
Hope, God! He pulled in breath through his nose and finished. I'm sorry. I don't. Not anymore.
That's not true.
He wrapped his fingers around her wrist, pulled it away, let it go, and slid down the couch from her. She fell back to her calves and stared at him. I want to get along with you, for the kids, he told her. I want you to stop doing the shit you're doing that hurts them. I want to help repair your relationship with Shaw, so you'll have him for the time we still have him before he goes off to live his life. But us, we're done. There's no turning back.
We were good together,
she reminded him. We were. Now that's over, he reminded her.
We weren't good, honey. We were great. We were happy. We're talking now about this...
She shook her head in a fierce way and forced out.
Stuff. The bad stuff. But it wasn't bad. It was good. We laughed a lot. I made you laugh a lot. I should have listened after we lost Maynard, and I should have shared what I was feeling, but all this stuff we're talking about, I see now it doesn't mean anything.
You're right, Hope, and I'm sorry, but now All of that is over in a way there's no going back, he said as gently as he could.
I don't care about the cooking, Hicks.
It's not that, she flipped out her hands.
I mean, it is, but it isn't. It's the significance.
I get it, Hope. It doesn't change things. She leaned his way.
It does.
You should have told me. I'd hurt you. You felt I was taking you for granted. That was something I needed to know. She nodded repeatedly and quickly.
I should. I know that now. I should have told you. And from now on, I will, Hickson. You have my promise.
Hope, you broke it. It can't be fixed. It's done.
It's not.
I'm sorry, he said again as gently as he could. It is. The tears started flowing over when she reminded him.
We vowed forever.
Then you filed for divorce. She slapped a hand against her chest.
This isn't just on me. You have your part in it.
Maybe I did, but then it got done, and there was nothing left but our kids.
That's not true. You promised me forever, so if it's broken, you have your part in fixing it.
Hope. She surged to him, grabbing both sides of his neck and pressing between his legs.
I love you, Hicks. You are the only man I ever loved. And I'll never love anyone else because I shouldn't have to.
Again, Hicks wrapped his fingers around her wrists, both of them this time, and he pushed her back, but held her not too far away with their hands between them as he dipped his face in hers. I tried to fix it, he reminded her quietly.
I should have let you, but now...
You didn't, he told her. And now it's over. There's nothing to fix.
We can get it back,
she begged, tears still flowing. Hicks used his hold on her wrists to pull her gently to her feet as he stood, but he held her in front of him and kept at her. I know you're hurting, and that doesn't make me happy. I know what you want, and I lived so long wanting to give you what you want. It's hard, even now, to say you can't have it. But you did what you did, and then you acted the way you acted. And it sucks I gotta remind you, but that was even worse than what you did to put yourself where you are now. For me, Hope, it sucks to share this with you too, but I'm not where you are now. I'm somewhere else, and I'm not turning back. I'm not because you threw away our lives the way you did. I'm not because you played the games you played and pulled the shit you pulled after you did that. And I'm not because I just don't love you anymore in a way I know I'll never do it again.
Her,
she spat. Yes, Greta, and also you, Hope. You let it die, and now it's dead. And if you can't understand that, I'm sorry. But it's the God's honest truth. She yanked her wrists from his hold, stepped away several paces, lifted a hand, dashed it on her cheek to wipe away the tears, and hissed.
And you're blameless.
Probably not. But what I'm trying to say is it doesn't matter now. She squared her shoulders, tossed her pink champagne hair, and sniffed.
Right. Then you can get out of my house now.
You wanted this talk. I'm here, and we should take it where we're at least good to raise our children, healthy and happy and not running away and walking across town at 7 a.m. because that shit is whacked. She opened her mouth, and he knew it was about to come spewing out. But surprisingly, she shut it and looked again to the fire. She crossed her arms on her chest and declared,
I miss my son.
I'm sure, and we'll work on that. She looked to him.
And I want that woman not staying the night when my children are with you.
Don't go there, he growled.
It isn't right.
What it isn't is your business. She dropped her arms, but held them out to her sides.
They're my children.
They're mine too. And Greta's gonna be in their lives, the way things are going, for the rest of them. So no reason for her not to be in them now. Her face froze in shock with her mouth open. She unfroze to stammer.
You're gonna marry her?
I don't know. But I know if you take a second and think about it, you'd know that I wouldn't have a woman around them that I didn't have feelings for. You also know you can trust me to do the right thing by our kids. So we don't have to have this conversation not only because it's not your business, but because I'm a good father who loves his kids so you shouldn't insult me by saying anything. She crossed her arms on her chest, protectively this time, and stated,
You've got to know that hurts me, Hickson.
I can imagine, Hope, he murmured. But it is what it is. It's happening. And you're going to have to get used to it, too. She looked to the fire and declared,
I think you should leave.
Hope, you need to stop talking shit around Mammy. She turned again to glare at him, but he kept going before she could say anything. You can be pissed at me. You can hate me. You can hate Greta. You can do what you want, say what you want, talk all you want. That's your prerogative, but not in front of our daughter.
I'm sure Greta went tattling to you about our conversation this morning.
She spat. She called me when she got to work, yeah, he told her. But you're an adult, she's an adult. I can't control you, and because of that, I can't protect her from you. Do I want you never to do that again? Hell yes. Can I stop you? Unfortunately, no. Can we put up with your shit and carry on? Fortunately, yes.
My shit,
she murmured, her lip curling. Hicks sighed and prompted, Mammy?
Since the girls are both desperately in love with her because of her hair and her stupid heels, not to mention she's buying their love by giving them gift certificates to make their room in your house nice, I won't mess with that.
She gave in ungracefully. Thanks, he muttered.
But it'd be nice if you'd also have a few words with Shaw.
I'll do that.
And I'll curtail discussing on my phone in my house about how I feel about your new slut when the children are around.
Now see, Hicks whispered, holding his body perfectly in check. And Hope didn't miss it. He knew it when her face paled. That's stepping over a line I'll state plain right now you just crossed, and you better never fucking cross it again. He took one stride to her, getting in her space, and dropping his head so they were nose to nose. Do not ever speak about her that way again, Hope. Not ever. Not fucking ever. He pulled his head back and bit out. Now we had our talk, and you got a choice. You get your head out of your ass and get with the program, or you don't. I can't say what'll happen if you don't. I'll have to deal with it if it happens. What I will say is, right now, we got 8 months with Shaw, 2 years with Corinne, and 5 years with Mammy. 5 years to make our kids happy. Teach them what they gotta know to live their lives, take on the world, and be decent human beings. If I gotta do that all on my own, I will. But it'd be nice to have your help. Her head moved like he'd slapped her, but he was done. And he communicated that by sidestepping her and walking right out of her house. He was in his garage, having just shut down the Bronco when she called him. He sucked in a breath, grabbed the phone, hauled his ass out of his truck, slammed the door, and leaned his back against it before he put the phone to his ear and greeted, If this is ugly, I am hanging up and blocking you until you have the girls again.
I shouldn't have said that about her,
Hope declared. Hicks went silent. Hope, unfortunately, did too, so Hicks had to end it. Hope, it's late, and I wanna...
I messed things up, didn't I?
Hicks fell silent again. This time, she didn't.
I won't say anything in front of Mammy. And I know Corinne's upset with you, so I'll sit down with her and, I don't know, share a few things.
Make them the right things, Hope, he ordered.
They will be, Hickson.
He sucked in another breath.
It wasn't about the ring,
she whispered in his ear.